Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Andromeda is coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear the Columbia Workshop, but right now, it's The Marriage. Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, darlings of the Broadway stage, took part in this drama from October of 1953 through their final broadcast, which we'll hear next, from March 28, 1954, on NBC.
Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. With the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting one of the most distinguished couples of the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, transcribed as Liz and Ben Marriott in the love and laughter of The Marriage.
When Emily was 1 year old, she used to spend 12 hours a day crawling around the apartment, hanging onto my skirt. I felt something like a convict with a ball and chain that had to be fed, bathed, and changed. I remember longing for her first step so I could be free. Of course, as soon as she learned to walk, she developed the habit of taking the clothes out of the laundry hamper and dropping them all neatly in the toilet. This sort of thing has gone on ever since, figuratively speaking, of course. The latest example started on a Friday night a few weeks ago. Pete had locked himself in the bathroom an hour before, and Ben was checking up on him.
Pete! Peter!
I'm in the tub, Pop!
You stay in much longer, you'll come out looking like a prune.
Okay, Pop!
One of these days, he's going to develop webbed feet.
He's reading again. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Well, that's appropriate.
Pete, you get out of that tub. Emily has a date.
Okay.
Well, there's no rush, Mom.
Bobby's coming over for you, isn't he, Emily? It is Bobby.
Naturally.
Where are you going tonight, dear?
Oh, I guess we'll just hang around.
Well, you can use the phonograph and popcorn or something or other.
I was thinking of giving myself a home permanent.
Well, you won't have time. Bobby will be here any minute, won't he?
No, I thought he could help me.
Emily.
Well, why not? He's very good in chemistry.
Well, you won't exactly be at your best with towels stuffed down your neck and smelling a neutralizer.
Oh, my goodness, Bobby doesn't care.
Emily, do you think that's fair to him? I mean, a Friday night date.
What's so special about Friday night?
But what did he say when he asked you for the date?
Well, he didn't ask me.
Well, then how do you know he's coming over?
Where else would he go? Mom, do you think I should cut my bangs?
Do you think this is wise?
They're getting in my eyes.
I mean, going out with one boy all the time.
Oh, we don't go out all the time. Sometimes we just stay home. I think I'll get the permanent stuff ready.
What do you think, Liz?
Definitely.
Definitely what?
Cut the bangs.
No. About Bobby.
Well, if he's good at chemistry, I suppose it'll be all right.
Oh, darling, you know what I'm talking about. She hasn't gone out with another boy for 6 months.
Is it that long?
She's only 15. Shouldn't we do something?
Now, Ben, you know very well we can't do anything, not directly.
How about indirectly?
Well, we've never screened Emily's friends before. We've trusted her that she'll figure things out all right. We've got to stick by that pen.
Yeah, I suppose so.
She's 15. That's an age of exploration, searching.
I'm all for searching. It's the premature finding that...
That's Bobby.
Oh.
I'll get Peter out of the water into dry dock.
Will you get it, please, Daddy?
Okay.
Oh, I'm afraid it's stuck again.
Take your hand off it, Bobby.
I did. That's my glove. The finger's still stuck.
Oh, here. I'll get it. Well, come on in.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Marriott.
Emily's expecting you.
Oh, she is? That's nice.
She'll be out in just a minute. I'm afraid you'll have to wait, though.
Oh, I don't mind.
Well, how are you, Bobby?
Do you mind if I don't shake hands?
No. No, not if you don't want to.
Oh, it isn't that. I mean, I don't actually mind shaking hands with you, Mr. Marriott.
Something wrong with your hand?
It's because I'm 6'3".
That affects your hand?
Only the right hand.
Oh, naturally. Bobby, I'm not quite following the physiology here.
I catch right-handed. That's why they made me the first baseman. My hand is sore.
Oh, Oh, baseball.
Yes. I thought it'd be all over when the basketball season was over, but the basketball coach told the baseball coach about me. He said 6'3" first baseman don't grow on trees.
Height's an advantage.
Oh, yes. I have to lean out this way to catch the ball. I'm 2 feet closer to third base than anybody else in school. Except the third baseman, of course.
That's quite a distinction.
I'm supposed to reach behind me with my foot to tag the base. It doesn't work, though.
Why not?
It's never there.
I'm sure you'll find it someday, Bobby. Emily!
Oh, hello, Bobby.
Hello.
Bobby, you wouldn't mind helping me with the home permanent, would you?
Oh, it's all right with me.
I've got Pete started. Oh, hello, Bobby.
Hello, Mrs. Marriott.
I'll have to shampoo it first.
Emily, you're not really going to do your hair.
Well, why not?
Well, you've got a guest.
Well, Bobby isn't a guest. Are you?
Well, I don't mind, really.
Why don't you go to a movie or something where you can be together?
Oh, we can be together. Over the kitchen sink while I'm washing my hair. Come on, Bobby, you can help me.
You're not going to change your hair, are you?
Well, don't you want me to?
I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
Liz, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I have a feeling that there's something wrong with this whole situation.
It is a little bizarre, isn't it?
I don't know if I like the idea of his shampooing her hair.
Oh, Ben, really?
Well, it's symbolic.
Of what?
Why don't they go out somewhere?
Maybe they don't want to.
Well, why don't they want to? Liz, I'd feel a whole lot better if they were in a movie balcony or walking in the park. I'd feel safer.
Oh, Ben, that's absolutely ridiculous. Where can they be safer than right here at home?
Well, I don't mean safer. I safer.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Well, no, not exactly.
Oh!
What's that?
Bobby, you're dripping soap down my neck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You see what this leads to?
Soap down the neck?
No, I'm serious, Liz. Emily's too young for this kind of emotional involvement. She's hardly ever gone out with other boys.
Don't you think you may be taking this a little out of proportion, Ben? They just like each other. They like to be with each other, talk to each other.
Liz, after 6 months, there comes a point when there's nothing left to say. Gives me a cold shiver to hear a girl of 15 talking as if she just celebrated her silver wedding anniversary.
Oh, for goodness sake, Bobby, where did you learn how to shampoo? You're scratching.
I can't be. I bite my fingernail.
Well, you'll have to stop that, Bob.
You see? It's all settled. She accepts it as a foregone conclusion.
Aren't you confusing a simple shampoo with a formal engagement?
Liz, don't you think that they should be a little less settled? I mean, at her age? Now, seriously.
I suppose so. But we can't really interfere.
I know. But if she went out with a lot of different kids, well, they'd be starting from scratch every time, emotionally speaking, I mean.
Well, now, speaking emotionally, as I remember our first date...
No, that was an entirely different circumstance. You were at least 24 years old.
22, and such a young 22.
Well, you weren't 15 anyway. There ought to be something we can do.
Oh! Bobby, you almost drowned me!
Well, you don't want soap film on your hair. You've got to be squeaky clean.
There, Ben, you see? You haven't a thing to worry about. Emily is going to be squeaky clean. After the shampoo, Bobby helped roll Emily's hair up on those white plastic pigeon bones they use for home permanents. Bobby timed the whole operation with his sweet second hand. Just before Ben and I went to bed that night, he went into the kitchen to get a glass of milk. And he looked worried when he came back.
I don't know.
Oh, Ben, you look like the father in a 19th century melodrama.
Oh, I feel like one.
Well, what's the matter? Was the light out?
No, it wasn't.
Well, what were they doing?
Reading.
Is that all?
Separate books.
Oh, Ben, really?
There's something unnatural in just sitting there reading separate books.
For goodness sake, we do it all the time.
That's exactly what I mean.
I don't know, Ben. You find the most unusual things to worry about.
Do you think it's a healthy situation? Tristan and Isolde at the age of 15?
Well, no. Mm. No, I don't. Oh, Ben, don't start thinking. You'll toss for hours, and I've got to get up early. Ben.
What?
Oh. Bobby left around midnight, and Ben was still tossing. Next morning, he went off to the office for a half a day. I was sure he'd forget all about it, but after lunch, he deftly worked the conversation around to a neutral corner and then dropped the bomb.
Emily, have you got a date for tonight?
Well, not exactly. Why?
I was wondering if you'd do me a favor. Mr. Burns has a nephew who's coming into town this afternoon.
He has?
He asked me if I knew a nice girl that Hal could go out with.
And what did you say?
Well, I said I'd ask you. I'd ask you whether or not you'd mind.
You mean you made a date for me? Unilaterally?
Oh, I just said I'd ask you.
Do I have to?
He's a very nice boy. Your age.
My age? Honestly, Daddy.
What's wrong with going out with a boy your age?
Daddy, there are certain physiological and psychological facts. Girls are older at the same age than boys are.
I can't even follow that. He's an intelligent boy, and he goes to school in Pennsylvania.
How would you like it if I fixed you up with a strange woman from Pennsylvania?
I might object, dear.
I suppose you'll lose face at the office if you can't talk me into it.
Well, you don't have to if you don't want to.
No, I don't suppose it would kill me. I'll have to get my suede out of the shoemaker's.
Ben, did he really?
Who? What?
Burns, did he really approach you?
Well, halfway at least. I thought if we could break this pattern that she might see that she doesn't have to be handcuffed to Bobby Logan.
I hope it works out that way.
Oh, why shouldn't it? Well, Liz, what do you think she should wear?
The negotiations were completed, and Harold Burns was scheduled to arrive at 8:30. After supper, Emily went in to get ready, and Ben sat waiting nonchalantly in the living room. Eventually, Harold arrived. We were used to Bobby Logan, who barely got in the door each time he called. Harold Burns made it to the living room without tripping over anything, which impressed us a great deal. Harold was a nice-looking boy. He sat down on the couch and said hello quite politely.
Uncle Albert sends his regards, Mr. Murray.
Oh, that's nice of him. Anything new since this morning? Emily! She'll be right out, Harold.
Well, it was very nice of you and Mrs. Marriott to fix up this date for me. I've been in Pennsylvania since Christmas. 3 solid months.
Pete, you better get that model picked up and start to bed.
Oh, excuse me. Is that a 1919 Stutz Bearcat?
Yeah, 16 cylinders.
Did you build it from a set?
Yeah.
Oh, I made one from scratch once.
Yeah?
What did you use for the wheel spokes, Pete?
Lollipop sticks.
They're a little too thick. Try a medicine applicator.
Thanks, I will.
Are you a model car builder, Harold?
When I was a little younger.
Oh, of course.
I just happened to have a 1911 Stutz with me and Uncle Albert.
Gee, I'd like to see that.
Well, how about coming over tomorrow afternoon? There are a couple of tips I could give you on gluing fenders.
I've been using pins.
Pipe cleaners.
Pipe cleaners?
Flexible bracing. I'll show you. Let me get down with you.
Okay.
Now, look. You take the glue. Have you got a pipe cleaner?
Harold.
Have you got a pipe cleaner, Mr. Marriott?
No, Harold, I haven't. Harold, this is Emily.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, Emily. It's very nice to meet you. Better not shake hands. Glue.
I'm sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, that's all right. Your brother was showing me his 1919 Stutz. Gee, Uncle Albert didn't tell me he had a brother.
Well, Pete usually stays home when I go out.
Well, guess we better get going. Night, Miss Marriott. Mr. Marriott.
Good night, Harold.
Night, Harold.
So long, Pete. Remember, pipe cleaners.
Sure, Harold. And thanks.
Bye, Mom. And don't worry. I'll be home early.
Wow.
Well, boy, that's some date Emily's got.
You approve of them, Pete?
Sure. There aren't many guys that can build a Stutz Bearcat from scratch.
Ben and I finally got Pete off to bed and had another cup of coffee in the kitchen.
Anyway, he's a perfectly acceptable boy of Emily's own age.
And he's a 3-month veteran of Pennsylvania.
I thought he was a very nice boy.
So did Pete.
Sit still. I'll get it. All right, all right. Get your finger off. Uh-oh.
Ben, it couldn't be.
Would you like to answer?
No, Ben, go ahead. You wait, Pete.
Maybe he'll go away.
Ben, answer the door.
Ask him in.
Bobby, you can take... Bobby, hey! Come on back here.
Oh, hello.
What were you going to do? Just leave your glove?
Well, I was going to leave it in the bell until I could borrow a pair of pliers or something.
Come on in. We're having coffee out in the kitchen.
Coffee?
You can have milk.
Oh, I suppose I should start drinking coffee, just for appearances.
Why, hello, Bobby. Did Ben explain?
Oh, yes, I get milk.
Huh? Ben, didn't you...
Not yet.
Well, how did the permanent turn out on Emily?
Oh, fine, fine.
It's easy with a sweep second hand. Did you know that Emily curls in 18 minutes, 7 and 3/10 seconds?
No, I didn't.
After that, she kinks.
Oh.
Bobby, Emily isn't here, you know.
No, I didn't. Well, that's funny.
Was she expecting you?
Oh, no. Did she go to the movies?
I'm not sure. She went out on a date.
On a date? Well, that's funny. She didn't tell me yesterday.
Well, it only came up this afternoon, Bobby.
A boy from school?
I don't think you know him.
From New York City?
As a matter of fact, he's from Pennsylvania.
Well, how did Emily meet anyone from Pennsylvania?
Well, we arranged it.
You did?
Bobby, Emily's only 15.
I know.
Well, you see, Mrs. Marriott felt that there was no... We felt that it was better for her to... It's a little difficult to explain this to you, Bobby.
What did I do?
Nothing, Bobby, nothing.
Are you mad at me, Mr. Marriott?
Oh, of course I'm not, Bobby.
Is Emily mad at me?
No.
Well, I don't understand it then. What did you go and do this for? We got along fine. Emily didn't get me nervous. I mean, well, aren't there enough boys around? Did you have to import someone from Pennsylvania?
Now, look, Bobby, you're...
I don't think it's nice. For one thing, how do you know what kind of a boy this is? Emily's pretty young. Just who is this boy? Just what kind of school does he go to in Pennsylvania?
Take it easy.
I'm sure she's all right, Bobby.
I hope so.
Yeah, after all, Bobby, we are still her parents.
Shh, shh, shh.
Well, good night, Harold. I had a lovely time.
Good night, Emily.
Why doesn't she close the door?
She's saying goodnight.
She said goodnight.
Emily?
Mom?
In the kitchen.
Is Daddy up? I want to talk to... Oh, hello, Bobby.
Why didn't you close the door?
I did.
It was a long time closing.
It got stuck on the mat. This is a surprise.
Well, I'll bet it is.
Is something the matter, Bobby? You promised you wouldn't bite your nails anymore.
I'll eat them down to the elbow if I want to.
Bobby, what is it? What's the matter?
Well, you better ask your parents. I don't understand it at all.
Bobby!
I'll just drink my milk and go.
Wait a minute, Bobby!
Goodbye, Mr. Marriott. Mrs. Marriott.
Bobby!
Goodbye, Emily.
Daddy, what did you say to him?
Nothing. I just told him you were out, that's all.
Did you have a good time, dear?
Oh, sure. Wonderful. Harold is very interested in the subways. He explained all the signals to me.
Was it bad, Emily?
How would you like to stand in the front of the first car from Van Cortlandt Park to South Ferry in heels?
You better sit down, dear.
Ooh. What about Bobby?
Well, I'm afraid he was a little surprised, that's all. You see, Emily, that's what I meant. It just isn't good to narrow things down so far.
Narrow what down?
Anything. Boys, for example.
Is that why you made me go out with Harold?
We didn't make you do anything, dear.
I thought it was a business favor.
Now, Emily.
You told Bobby you didn't want him to see me?
No, I didn't. Not exactly, anyway.
That's what he meant. Daddy, you didn't have any right to do that.
Now, don't get upset, Emily. We were worried that you seemed to spend all your time with Bobby.
Well, it's my time. I like Bobby.
But he isn't the only boy around, Emily.
Well, at least he's interested in more important things than 1911 Stutz Bearcats. You always tell me I'm supposed to be free to make my decision.
Well, you are, dear.
Haven't we always treated you that way?
Sure. If it's a choice between a pink sweater or a blue one, that's okay. But you didn't want me to choose what boy I wanted to be with.
Oh, of course we do, dear.
We just don't want you to make any mistakes.
Well, I don't think Bobby's a mistake.
And even if he is, he's my mistake. Doesn't matter now anyway.
Emily.
If he thinks I'm not old enough to decide who I go out with, he won't want me anyway.
Look, Emily, we better talk this out right now.
You talk it out. You and Mother. You don't need me for anything. I don't count. I'm going to bed.
Emily. I feel awful, Ben.
So do I.
I just thought it was funny, the way you were worried. I was just sitting back and being amused.
We had a right to try to keep her from making a mistake.
I thought so.
You know, she is only 15. That's still a kid. We have got some responsibility.
I suppose so.
Well, of course we have.
Yes, yes, we do.
You know, at this time of night, the buses only run every 20 minutes. He might still be down there at the corner.
Bring some ice cream back. It's the least we can do.
What flavor?
Well, anything but chocolate. It's bad for skin.
Okay, I'll see if... Bobby.
I forgot my glove.
Come in.
It's fur-lined, or I wouldn't have bothered.
Ben, did you forget... Oh.
Hello, Mrs. Marriott.
Bobby, I was just going down after you.
You were?
You know, all this wasn't Emily's fault. She went out with that boy as a favor to me. A business favor.
She had a terrible time, Bobby.
That's too bad.
She's pretty annoyed with us right now. You know, you'd do us a favor if you'd stay and...
Have another glass of milk.
Well, I shouldn't.
One for the road?
I didn't really come back for my glove, Mr. Marriott. I'll take it. I mean, well, I didn't really have any right to get sore at Emily for going out with somebody else. I thought it over at the bus stop. I thought maybe it isn't fair to Emily to stick her with just me. She might be able to do a lot better if she had the chance.
Oh, I don't know, Bobby.
Maybe we should all broaden our experience. Especially Emily. What do you think, Mr. Marriott?
Bobby, I think that's up to you and Emily. I have no official opinion on this point, and if I had, I think I'd keep it to myself.
I'd better call Emily. Emily!
I'm in bed.
Put on your robe, dear, and come out.
Bobby, would you like a chocolate milk this time? Just for a change.
I'm not interested in discussing any... Bobby!
Oh, hello. I forgot my glove. Anyway, I wanted to apologize.
It's a sort of round-robin apology. All right, Emily?
All right, Daddy.
Well, it's awfully late. Maybe I better go, Emily.
Oh, Bobby can stay for a while, can he, Daddy?
No, why not? After all, he's just like one of the family. Chocolate milk, everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hume Cronin, or Ben Marriott, if you prefer. My wife and I want to tell you what satisfaction it's given us to bring you the marriage. Unhappily, this is to be the last broadcast of the series. We hate to see it end, but that's the way it goes. I hope we'll be back again with you someday, and now I think Jessie'd like to say something.
Well, I simply want to thank all of you who've taken such an interest in the marriage, and to thank most particularly those of you who've written to us. We're just beginning to catch up in answering your letters. If you would like to see the marriage continue, will you please let us or your local station or NBC know about it? It helps. And now, goodbye from the whole Marriott family. We've enjoyed these Sunday evenings very much. Hume?
Just good night and goodbye.
The Marriage, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 28, 1954, putting a cap on that NBC run. It was only months earlier that Hume Cronin staged the play Madam, Will You Walk, which opened at the Phoenix Theater on Broadway and ran for 42 performances and did co-star Jessica Tandy. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now the Columbia Workshop presents the play Now It's Summer, a CBS broadcast from September 21st, 1939.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents the fifth specially commissioned work for the current workshop festival, Now It's Summer, a comedy by the young American author and playwright Arthur Kober. Earl McGill is the director. The scene is a high school classroom in elementary physics. Charles Trow has taught physics for over 20 years, and what he has said again and again.
Now, I want the class to observe that I've just made a parallel connection with these two bulbs. Now, watch closely. By unscrewing this one bulb, so, I put the light out. Now, does that affect the power of this other bulb? Yes, Corey, your hand was up first.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't what?
Doesn't affect the power of that there other bulb.
Exactly. It does not affect the power of the other bulb. Now, I want the class to notice the bulbs on the other base. These bulbs are connected in series. Now, observe, please, that when... Sweeney?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing, Sweeney?
Nothing.
Exactly. Quiet. Quiet, please. Sweeney, you're to give me your full and undivided attention. You understand? Do you understand, young man?
Yeah.
Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
That's better. Now, as I was saying, observe the effect as I turn this light out. The other light also goes out. Now, put that down in your books, please. How to tell whether devices are connected in series or in parallel. The test is to turn out one bulb. If all go out, they are connected in series. If one goes out, what's the answer, Sweeney?
The answer?
Very sorry to have to disturb your slumbers. Phillips, you give our sleepy friend the answer.
If one goes out, they're connected in parallel.
Exactly. Now, Sweeney, I want you to read what I've just asked you to put in your notebook.
Huh?
Huh is not what I asked you to write. Quiet. Quiet. Please, boys, quiet. Sweeney, I shall have to ask you to stay in after the rest of the class is dismissed. Minelli?
Yes, sir?
I want you to make tomorrow's homework on the board. Page 630, problems 3, 11, 12, and 14. I don't think that's at all funny, Sweeney.
Oh, gee whiz. Now a guy doesn't sneeze no more.
None of your impertinence. I won't tolerate it.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop. You will retain your seats, please. The signal is meant for me, not for you. You're all to read the pages on energy and be prepared to define the various types of energy. Now, have you all got that?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow whether you have or not. All right. Class dismissed. Hey, Sweeney, I want you to come forward, please.
Gee whiz, I didn't do that.
You will do as I say. Yes, what is it, Corin?
Are we supposed to do that stuff about power?
Your homework covers that question.
Hey, yes, Benedict.
Yes, Benedict?
You said I should ask you when I could use the Bunsen burner, Mr. Trow.
Will you stop that noise, please? I'm sorry, Benedict. Not today. Some other time. Corey forgot his textbooks. Will you see that he gets them?
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, Sweeney.
Gee whiz, Mr. Trow. I'm supposed to see Mr. Considine after school. He'll give me holy heck if I don't see him.
Here's a sheet of paper. Make out a note to Mr. Considine saying I detained you, and I'll sign it.
Gee whiz, what did I do anyways? I was just sitting there. I wasn't hurting nobody.
Hurting nobody?
No, sir. I wasn't hurting nobody.
Hurting nobody?
Hurting anybody.
Better.
Gee whiz, why are you always picking on me? What you got against me, anyhow?
Every time I'm in the midst of an experiment or the explanation of some rule, you're either whispering to your neighbor or you're off stargazing somewhere. Now, I can't have discipline in my class if you're going to set a bad example, can I?
But I wasn't whispering, Mr. Trow. Today I was doing nothing.
That's it, Sweeney. You were doing nothing when you were supposed to be listening.
I was listening.
Don't contradict me. You were daydreaming. You had your eyes closed.
That's the way I listen sometimes. No kidding, I
Sweeney,
really...
Sweeney, this has happened too often to be an accident. I'm afraid I shall have to report you to Dr. Curtis. You wouldn't want me to do that, would you?
No, sir.
Well, what's your average mark, Sweeney?
About 70.
70? Do any of your other teachers find fault with you?
No, sir. Nobody else picks on me. You're the only
one. Why does Mr. Considine want to see you?
He's coaching the baseball team. I'm supposed to be in the park
right
now.
Keep your seat, please, please. I'm not letting you go until we get to the bottom of this. Now, what is it, Sweeney? Come on, out with it.
I don't know.
Well, there's no need to be embarrassed. This is just... between you and me. Now speak up.
I got nothing to speak up.
Are my problems too complex?
Huh?
I mean, are they too hard?
They're okay, I guess.
Well, now, perhaps I don't make myself clear. Perhaps if I expressed myself a little more, shall we say, more simply, you'd understand. Now, is that it?
Well, I don't know.
Sweeney, you must know what's bothering you.
I got nothing bothering me.
Last week, it was Turner I had to report. The week before, it was Hellman. Now, I don't want to go to Dr. Curtis again. Sweeney, there's an old adage. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now, you've often heard of that, haven't you?
I don't know.
Of course you have. Everybody has. Now, there is something obviously wrong with you. I'd like to help you, but that requires your cooperation. In other words, let us say that I'm the doctor and you are the patient, so to speak. Now, in order to effect it... There you go again.
What did I do now?
Even when I try to help you, you won't listen. You were staring out of the window, wearing that sickish grin on your face. Sweeney, I don't know what to do with
you. I was listening, Mr. Trow. You said you was a doctor.
Your constant wool gathering is becoming a source of extreme irritation. You're really not a bad boy. If only you wouldn't allow your mind to wander off the way it does.
No, sir, no more. Gee, I hope Mr. Constantine...
Now, one moment, please, please. I'm not quite through with you.
Oh, gee.
Now, stop your sulking. I assure you, it's no fun for me to stay here after school. But I must do something about you, if only as an example to the other unruly pupils. You don't like physics, do you? Isn't that why you're so restless? Go on, you can tell me. I won't punish you.
Oh, who wants to be an electrician anyhow? What do I care about that electric light and power stuff?
Well, what would you rather do?
Play baseball with the rest of the guys. That's what I was thinking when I was looking out of the window. I was thinking, gee whiz, now it's summer. Look at me, cooped up here while a gang is in the park having fun. I was thinking, boy, it must be nice out there in the park. It's summer now.
But, Sweeney, we can't go about doing whatever we like. It would be a very strange world if we did. There are certain things which have to be done whether we like to do them or not. They make for routine and order. Now, if we were to neglect these duties, we'd have chaos and confusion. There are certain tasks that I have to perform whether I want to or not. I, too, would like to be out in the fresh air. There's also a park a few blocks from the boarding house in which I live. I haven't been there in... Oh, let me see now. Never mind. The fact is that I frequently hear some of my neighbors arranging to go there. There are times when I'm tempted to go along. But do I leave my work? Do I take time off? Do I neglect my duties? The answer, Sweeney, is emphatically no, I do not. Even though it is summer and there is a park nearby. Routine and order, Sweeney, are the great secret of life. Now, learn the simple art of self-discipline. For example, make a point of arriving at your classes promptly. Devote all your thought and energy to the subject in hand. Then, when your classes are over, you can relax. Play your baseball in the park. Have your good time. Happy in the knowledge that you've done your... Sweeney, I give up. You're incorrigible.
Well, what's the matter? What did I do now?
Come along, come along. I'll take you to Dr. Curtis. Perhaps he can drill some sense into you.
Gee whiz, I'm always doing something wrong. Even when I sit nice and quiet, that's wrong.
Nothing I say seems to penetrate. Everything goes into one ear and out the very same ear.
Honest, Mr. Trow, I was paying attention.
You were busy. You were busy scribbling away while I was talking. Sweeney, does anything ever stir in that cranium of yours?
Yes, sir.
Really? How surprising. What were you writing?
Oh, it's nothing.
Let me see it.
It's just a plain piece of paper, that's all.
Come on, let me have it. I'm curious to see what you think of, if you think at all, while I'm talking. Well?
It's just some scribbling, Mr. Trow. It ain't got no sense to it.
No, I don't doubt that for a moment. I'm waiting, Sweeney.
Oh, gee.
Open your fist, please. Now, let me see what... What made you write this?
I don't know.
Old Donald Duck. Mr. Trow, Old Donald Duck. Old Donald Duck?
I didn't make it up, Mr. Trow. Honest, I didn't. The rest of the fellas, they all
you
got
to... You mean that the other pupils also call me this? Do they, Sweeney? I want to know so I can be, well, prepared, so to speak. Do they?
It's kind of like a nickname. You know, like Red and Shorty and...
Old Donald Duck. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Why do they call me that? Please, tell me. I won't punish you. I promise you I won't.
Well, every time you talk, you always go like this. Now then, quack, 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 so to speak. Exactly. Quack, quack, quack,
that's
quack,
enough.
Quack.
I don't want to hear any more.
Oh, I didn't want to tell you, Mr. Trout, but you asked me. You said you
yes,
wouldn't...
Yes, yes, I know. All right, Sweeney. I asked you and you told me.
That's what I was scribbling. I was thinking, gee whiz, now it's summer. There's the park, and I'm cooped up while old Donald Ducky keeps right on quacking. Quack, quack, quack,
I've
quack, quack.
I've had enough of that. Get out of here. Get out at once before I...
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Gee whiz, all I did was tell you what you asked me.
Stop! Old Donald Duck. Mr. Trow, you are old Donald Duck. Quack, 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 so to speak. Exactly. Quack, quack, quack.
While old Donald Ducky keeps right on quacking. Quack, 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 quack. Gee whiz. Now it's summer. The gang is in the park having fun. I was thinking, boy, it must be nice out there in the park. It's summer now.
And here's the park, only a few blocks from the boarding house where I live. Oh, I haven't been here in... Well, let me see now. Heavens, must be years. I don't remember this part of the park at all. Why, that playground there must be new. And look at those children. Dear me, so many of them. Climbing up that ladder and sliding down and climbing up and... Well, dear me, if only they'd apply themselves to their lessons that way. My, this is a large park. I'd forgotten how large it really is.
Oh!
Oh.
Heaven's sake, mister, why don't you look where you're going?
I beg your pardon. I was so abstracted.
Almost got the baby carriage
I'm
over.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you are right, my sweeter baby. Did a man hurt my very witty soldier boy? Oh, you witty rascal, you. Ah, my baby wants his toy. Where's that toy?
Oh, this must be it on the ground. Here, let me get it for you.
Thank you.
Here you are, my sweetie baby. Here's your Donald Duck.
Well, I wonder where I am. This park is so big, I just... can't find my way about. I must have walked a great deal. I think I'll sit down and rest a while. I really ought to be getting home, of course. There are some papers to do. Routine in order. Yeah. I'm tired, though. Oh, dear, all these benches are taken. Oh, there's a place near that girl over there. I beg your pardon.
Hey, what? I'm sitting down on my newspaper.
Oh, I'm... Sorry, are you reserving this place?
Reserving the... What do you think this park is, a theater or something?
Would you mind if I sat here?
Why should I mind? I don't own this joint.
Ah, at last I can sit down and rest. That feels nice. I wonder if this young lady on my right reading the newspaper, I wonder if she's resting too. What have we here on my left? Oh, young man, is he rest? Well, there seems to be someone sitting with him.
Say, Kitty, you sure you're comfy now?
Uh-huh. Only put down your arm, just a little bit.
Okay, Cleopatra, queen of the Nile. Your humble slave Stretchy obeys the noble queen. Say, you want to know something, Kitty?
What?
It's too bad you can't see your eyes right now. Boy, some set of peepers, wow.
What's the matter with him?
Nothing's the matter with them. They're 100% perfect, your eyes.
Gee, it's a wonder you can see them. The light here, it's so bad.
Go on, Kitty. Take them out so I can examine them.
Crazy. You know, Stretch, a friend of mine, Shirley's her name, She recommends I should use mascara. What do you think?
I think your friend Shirley ought to have her head examined. She must be touched. Mascara. What do you want to spoil such beautiful set of brown eyes for?
They're not brown, you see? You don't even know the color. They're hazel.
Who says?
Well, look, bend down. See? Hazel.
Hazel, huh? You mean like a nut? Gee, you sweet thing.
Oh, Stretch.
Now it's summer. They're all in the park having fun. I was thinking, boy, it must be nice out there in the park. It's summer now.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, I guess they're brown all right.
I ought to be home, arranging my work. Dear me, I'm way behind now on my duties. My, there really will be chaos and confusion. The secret of life, Sweeney, is routine and order. Routine and order, yes. Look at these two, Kitty and Stretch. They seem to know the secret of life. They're not cooped in. They're out here in the park. They both know it's summer.
Looks like we got an audience. The old guy's watching us.
Next time, maybe we'd better sell tickets.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just couldn't
help. Give me my
help.
Bag, Stretch.
No. Here, come on, Kitty, before his eyes start popping out.
No, please.
Hey, too bad you didn't bring your candid camera with you.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. You know, I didn't mean to drive them away, really. I didn't. I
don't want to bother you, Pop.
You know, I couldn't help listening.
You get gray hair if you're worried.
I thought they were both very sweet.
Yeah,
and then,
sweet.
Yes, and so young. I'm really sorry I frightened them away.
Look, Pop.
What?
I wouldn't worry none about those birds if I was you. You get used to things like that around here if you just hang around for an hour or so.
Oh, you seem to know this park.
Know it? I memorized it. Mention any leaf, I'll tell you where it is. What else I gotta do? Sit in my 2x4 and get a nice steam bath when I can sit out here in the open? Look at it. Trees and flowers and lots of nice green grass. I like green for a color.
This is here and has been all these years.
What I'd be doing at home right now is sitting and staring at the walls and thinking, what good am I? Where do I come in anyways? Well, in the park, I don't know. People go past you, some happy, some sad. You start wondering about them. Maybe they got their troubles. Maybe they ain't even got a 2x4 with walls to stare at. Then I don't feel so bad. Now, why should somebody else's troubles pep me up? I don't know why. Still, it does.
Old Donald Duck, Mr. Trout. Quack, quack, quack. Quack,
yep.
Quack.
The man who invented parks ought to get a medal. Don't you think so?
Hmm? Oh, I beg your pardon?
I was talking about the park.
Oh. would you believe it? This is my first visit here in, well, in almost 20 years.
Oh, from out of town, huh?
No, I live only a short distance away. Matter of fact, I moved there so as to be near the park.
You mean you live on... So you saw it the place, or what?
No, I've taken it for granted, I guess. You know, like the way you take your neighbors and people around you. No, when I first moved in, I was in this park almost every day. There was a funny little path yes, I remember now. It was back in the boathouse. I used to walk along it every day, dreaming and planning. There was so much to plan and to dream about as I walked through the park 20 years ago.
Funny, but I was running around a park in those days, too.
You? Why, you must have been a baby.
I was 4 years old. Now, why should I lie? I was 6 years old. Have you ever been in Hardin, Minnesota?
I've never been out of this state.
I come from Hardin, Minnesota. Every Sunday morning, my old lady, she had a romantic nature. She dragged me and the whole family to the Hardin Park to look at the scenery. Me, my brothers and sisters, all seven of us.
Seven?
Yeah, seven.
Oh, what about your father?
Well, he was a janitor. He had to stay home and tend the house. But the rest of us, every Sunday, we was marching through the park. The parade of the Poniatowskis.
Yeah,
Poniatowskis. It's a Polish name.
Poniatowskis.
Yeah, I'd spell it for you, but what good would it do?
Oh, it's an odd name, isn't it?
Odd? You want to hear my full name? Get ready now. May Allison Poniatowski. How do you like a hand like that? May Allison.
It doesn't sound very Polish.
Just my old lady's romantic nature popping out again. You see, while Pop was cleaning up in the yard and tending to the garbage, the old lady was always off seeing movies. She was simply nuts about movies. Especially about her idol, Harold Lockwood. Remember him?
I'm afraid I don't.
Well, the old lady was his fan. The family lived in a dive. This was before I was born. And it was full of two things, mice and Harold Lockwood's pictures. Both all over the place.
Oh, I don't think I'd like that.
Oh, they didn't mind. They was counting on me being a boy. Mom thought if she could see a lot of pictures, maybe I'd be born looking like Harold Lockwood. What do you call that thing? Pre-something?
Prenatal influence.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, having a girl must have been a great disappointment.
Yeah, not with the old lady's romantic nature. What the devil, she figured, so long as I can't be like Harold Lockwood, I might as well be like the dame he played opposite. May Allison, her name.
Oh, I begin to see.
Yeah, with a handle like that, she figured, maybe someday I'd meet a fella like Lockwood. And I don't know. I've been around, I've met a lot of guys, and if any of them was like Mom's Lockwood, all I gotta say is Harold Lockwood was no bargain.
Is your mother still fond of the movies?
Nah, to tell you the truth, I ain't seen her in years. The minute my older brother got a job, she up and runs away with a boarder, a fat little greaseball with a walrus mustache. With Mom's romantic nature, maybe he did look like Harold Lockwood at that. Say, must be a kind of late, huh?
Oh, I wonder what time it is.
You've got a match?
Oh.
Well, the correct time is 13 minutes to 10, courtesy Century Easy Credit Plan.
Oh, is it really that late? Dear me, I...
Well, thanks for sitting here and let me chew your ear off.
Oh, I enjoyed it very much.
I don't get a chance to do much gabbing around here. The dames, they don't seem to like my line of talk. And the fellas, they don't want to talk. They got one motto, action speaks louder than words. So, there you are.
Well, I'll say good night. I hope that we'll meet again.
Oh, sure. Anytime you're in the neighborhood, just drop in. Guess I ought to be getting back, too. Yeah. Go back to what?
Yes, and go back to what?
Well, look, I got nothing but a 2x4 dump to go to, but you.
I? What have I? A boarding house to go to. Mrs. Bell, the landlady, is probably very worried about me. I've never been out this late before. But I'll be home soon. I'll be home, filling the air with chalk dust and classroom smells and my usual complaints, how some horrid little monster annoyed me and how I had to deal firmly with the rascal.
You're a schoolteacher, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, excuse me.
What for?
For talking so dopey, calling you Pop. Gee, I should have known right away from the way you talked, so refined like. Gee, ain't I the sap, though? If you'd only told me what you was...
Why? What difference does it make?
A school teacher? Why, you must be awful smart, awful brainy, what I mean. Think of it, hundreds and hundreds of kids, and you learning them things, telling... Well, what do you teach?
Physics.
Physics? It's a new one on me, physics. Sounds kind of funny.
Oh, it isn't funny. On the contrary, it's quite serious.
Well, what is it? I mean, arithmetic, that's figures. Geography, that's about foreign countries.
Well, it's quite an involved subject. Physics is the study of... Well, you don't really want to know, do you?
Oh, sure I do. But it's going to take time, then forget it.
Well, physics is the science which treats of energy and matter and their relation to each other.
Oh, I see.
Do you see?
Well, honestly, I don't. Well, what's it all about?
Well, roughly, it's about mechanics. Heat, magnetism, light, electricity.
It's still Greek to me.
And to my pupils, too, I found out. The only thing that keeps them from falling asleep is the classroom bell.
Look, tell me something. With so much knowledge in the world to pick on, how come you grab such a broken-down thing like that physics?
Well, I felt that it had a fundamental relationship to life. Heat, light, mechanics, we couldn't exist without them. But perhaps there are more important things. Yes, Sweeney proved that to me some hours ago.
Sweeney?
Today's particular monster. No, it's summer, he said. Who wants to be cooped up in a room, he said, when you can be out there in the park having fun. Well, he was right. That calliope sounds so gay and summery.
That's Pleasure Palace.
Pleasure Palace?
Yeah.
Oh. Say, I wonder if you would... never mind.
What?
No, it's too silly.
I'll tell you if it's silly. What is it?
Well, you know, I'd like to go there. I'd like to go there now. Will you come with me?
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Am I hearing right? You do mean Pleasure Palace, don't you? Hey, look, you're too big a boy to go running away from school.
Yes, I knew it was too silly.
Gee, he really means it. So you know what this is, don't you? A pickup.
Hmm?
Well, not that I ain't been picked up before. Where's my bag?
Do go?
What do I got to lose?
Well, we won't stay very long.
Yeah, so I can get my beauty sleep and be fresh in the morning to go looking for jobs. Don't worry, those jobs still won't be there, whether I'm fresh like a daisy or not. You gonna shoot the works?
The works?
I mean, will we go on the merry-go-round?
Oh, on the Ferris wheel, too, if you like.
And can we try the whip?
Uh-huh, and the barrel of fun.
Don't forget the tunnel of love.
And we'll eat popcorn and apple on the stick.
Yeah, how's about hot dogs and ice cream, girl?
Why, of course, and we'll drink soda pop and lemonade.
Can you make mine a root beer?
You'll have that, too.
Come on, I'm getting indigestion just thinking about it.
Be nice out there in that park. Why, now it's summer.
You have been listening to the CBS presentation of Now It's Summer, a comedy specially commissioned for the Columbia Workshop Festival by Arthur Cover.
The Columbia Workshop, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 21st, 1939 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.